Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chaser Report is recorded on Gadigal land.
Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is The Chaser Report.
Hello and welcome to The Chaser Report. I'm Charles Firth, and today we have a very special episode all about greenwashing. To give us the download, to share the tea, I think that's how you say it, we've got Belinda Noble, who is the founder of Comms Declare, which we'll get to in a sec, and Polly Hemming, who is, what's your title? You're sort of something at the Australian Institute, don't you?
Yeah, something. I call myself, or others call me, a senior researcher in the Climate and Energy Program.
Very fancy. Okay, right. So just to give this, the reason why we're doing this, a little bit of context. Last week, Alex, a friend of the show, and actually Chaser intern and me, went down to Melbourne and awarded the Commonwealth Bank the Chaser Greenwashing Award of the Year for 2022 because it turned out that they had given $14 billion to fossil fuel projects over the last sort of 6 or 7 years. And, well, they'd loaned that sort of money. And yet they still run things like that they're environmentally friendly, and even they give you a little app to track your carbon to make you feel guilty about all the carbon that you think. But nowhere on their app does they say they massively fund fossil fuel projects. So that's what we did. But then over the weekend I was chatting to a friend who had liked my that Commonwealth Bank thing that we did, and he said there's actually something even more egregious than that, which is that Ampol has done something with their petrol. They've done something very, very environmentally friendly with their petrol. Belinda, what have they done? What's Ampol up to?
Well, Ampol has been advertising a carbon neutral petrol. and they've got a great Facebook ad which shows trees and has the word carbon neutral on it. And they claim in that Facebook post that they can offset all the emissions from their petrol and diesel for business customers for a price. And we complained about that ad to Ad Standards, that's the advertising regulator. And thanks to the miracle of self-regulation, that complaint was dismissed.
Oh, right. So they're allowed to call their petrol carbon neutral. Now, just for the sake of absolute balance here, have they come up with a special formula for petrol that means that it doesn't release carbon into the atmosphere when you burn it? Is that what's happened here?
So what they say is that, so just for context, like annually the emissions from Ampol are about 54 million tonnes a year. The emissions from combusting their products, their petrol and their oil, is about 41 million tonnes a year. Ampol is, in the same way that when you get on a plane and like tick that box saying I'm offsetting my flight or do you want to offset your flight, Ampol is offering its customers the opportunity to offset their petrol by purchasing carbon credits on their behalf. And to date, like, now, Ampol is saying they've purchased about 84,000 carbon credits.
Right.
Haven't necessarily, that's sort of...
So what you're saying is, you know, of the 41 million tonnes, they've done 84,000, which means only 40,900 to go. And then it'll be carbon neutral, like their ad says.
Well, they haven't actually, there's sort of, without getting too technical, like you actually have to effectively cancel out a carbon offset when you buy it. Like you sort of tick it off so no one else can use it. So they haven't necessarily cancelled them all out. They've just purchased them in anticipation of their customers saying, yes, we do want to offset our fuel. So that's how they do it. The other thing that they've done is that they've said, look, this is legit. We've been certified by the Australian government. The Australian government, through its carbon neutral certification project, has said, yes, this is a legitimate carbon neutral product.
What the fuck?
This is just like this.
That is not true.
I'll hand back over to Belinda, but this is like you talking about. Ampol is the tip of the iceberg with this stuff. Like in Australia, a gas company can say it is a carbon neutral organisation for offsetting its offices, and it is certified by the Australian government.
Well, actually, that is funny you should say that, because that was the subject of the inaugural Chaser Greenwashing Award, which was last year, which is that NAB, the bank, National Australia Bank, they loaned $500 million to the Port of Newcastle, which by law is only allowed to export coal. It's actually, I think, the biggest coal port, certainly one of the biggest coal ports in the Southern Hemisphere. And the reason why that was called a sustainability loan and actually got like environmental credentials from the NAB was because they put on solar panels. The loan was to put solar panels on the top of the Port of Newcastle. So there you go. Perfect.
It's rampant. But what's really interesting, Belinda, you should mention this. In the Netherlands, an almost identical complaint was made to Ad Standards about Shell's carbon neutral petrol. And Belinda, what was the outcome of that?
So they made that complaint there pretty much on the same grounds that we made the complaint here against Ampol's carbon neutral petrol. And that was upheld. And they were requested to take the ad down in the Netherlands. Europe's a lot further ahead on this than we are.
I think the problem, though, there was that Shell didn't go and get a certification from the Australian government to say that their gas was carbon neutral. If they'd done that, then it would have been all over.
Actually, like, I don't know if you're being flippant, but that's true. Like, so that was called, like they said, it was greenwash. It's not physically possible to compensate by planting a few trees for geological or carbon. Stop using this term. Shell then kind of doubled down and said, okay, well, we won't use carbon neutral, we'll use compensation. And they made a complaint again to Ad Standards. It was upheld. Shell can't use compensation. But you're right, like these claims being made internationally, and they're everywhere, but they're self-made, or they're made according to some like little dinky voluntary framework saying, yeah, we'll give you a stamp of approval. Again, it's that self-regulation thing. Australia's pretty unique in that it's the government rubber stamping these claims. I think it's quite likely that had it had some sort of government endorsement, that the Shell case might have turned out quite differently.
So just like, and I know this might be just jumping to conclusions here, but why do I just get the sense that possibly that government certification scheme was set up under the previous government? Is that what happened?
Wasn't set up under the previous government. So it's actually been running for quite a while. It's endured a number of governments, but it really kind of went next level under the coalition. So that's when you started to see gas companies, petrol, jet fuel, you can certify.
So, but that's good. That's the you're a communist, aren't you? I mean, that's the nationalisation of greenwashing. That's one of our strategic industries. We are world class. Like, are you sort of talking down Australia and its commitment to greenwashing? Because it sounds like we are.
I think Australia is top tier. Like, literally, state sponsored greenwash. Australia is leading the world in this field. Like, with begrudging respect. For decades, we have greenwashed our accounting, like our fossil fuel expansion.
Yes.
Like, I went to Oxford a couple of weeks ago, offset my flights, for that.
Suddenly offsetting is all right.
No, I harbour a lot of guilt and I leave myself open when I acknowledge that I went overseas. But people at this conference in Oxford were going, oh, shit, I didn't realise how bad it was over there. Like, you have this entire policy framework dedicated to carbon neutral claims by fossil fuel companies. But also Australia is unique in that we generate the carbon credits in Australia that industry can use. So you've got two arms of government, like one certifying the offsets by Ampol, and Ampol is using credits that are currently under review because they've been exposed to be so dodgy. And then we give it like a next level, then we certify the accounting. So yeah, no, I like full respect to Australia. We do this so well.
So Belinda, let's just talk about offsets for a moment. Like, They're just bullshit, aren't they? Like, isn't the whole point that you got the petrol, you burn it, you can't really unburn it. It's like, I don't know, being a murderer and then offset, like going, okay, well, I've murdered somebody, but I went and I helped an old person cross the road, so therefore, you know, the bad deed that I did yesterday. Actually, just
avoided
about
death.
It,
actually, like, no, that's how offsetting.
It's a bit like Catholicism, yeah, isn't it? It's sort of, you do a bad deed, then you make up for it with a good deed.
Well, it's like infidelity. You know, if you cheat on your wife and then perhaps buying her flowers afterwards is the offset.
I mean, should we seeing as Australia is such a world leader in this, should we be extending it beyond carbon to all aspects of morality? Like, maybe we just lean into that's who we are as a nation.
I think we've done that. I mean, certainly the federal government's positive energy campaign was leaning in terms of greenwashing, and we actually awarded that a community disservice award for greenwashing, which was pretty good. In terms of ad standards and how they regulate claims about offsets, they in dismissing the complaint about the Ampol carbon neutral petrol, they actually said that they don't rule about whether offsets are effective or not. That's not their job. Their job is only to rule whether an average person would be deceived by that ad. So the less the audience knows about offsets, then the less likely they are to be deceived. Therefore, ignorance is the best policy there. But
in fairness, though, like 95% of ads rely on ignorance, don't they? You're talking about the catastrophic collapse of the entire advertising industry. You'd have to hold people to sort of knowledgeable.
Well, yeah, certainly. But I think greenwashing is a bit more serious. I mean, an EU study found, they did a sweep of websites and found that 42% of green claims were dodgy. So we're really flapping around in a whole world of greenwashing bullshit at the moment.
So, but what do we do? So say we wanted to save the planet from extinction and disaster. Don't you need offsets to sort of offset some of our bad behaviour? Like
things like, sure, you know, so most offsets come from either renewable energy, great, sure. They're avoiding emissions elsewhere, or increasingly they come from not planting trees, which is a really good activity, but from not cutting down trees. So you were talking about like not killing an old person. Oh. That's an avoided death, so that justifies your murder. Most offsets come from avoided emissions, so you don't cut down trees.
So wait a minute, so I'm generating offsets right now because I'm not cutting down.
You're not cutting down a tree, yeah. And you're right, that counterfactual. It's really hard to prove.
You can sell
it's really hard for me to say to you, Charles, you were never going to cut down that. Or actually, it's really.
I know, but I was.
Yeah, exactly.
I was. So, that's literally, you actually just stopped me. Like, I was about to cut down a tree and then our producer Lachlan said, hey, come on, you got to do an interview.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Chaser Report. News you know you can't trust.
So how much money can I sell?
Oh, a shitload. Oh, I'll get to that. So much. People are making millions from this. But the issue is okay, it's great to not cut down trees. It's great to plant trees. It's great to have renewable energy. The issue is that when those activities are used to justify burning more fossil fuels, because, you know, in the case of someone like Ampol, they can now say they're a climate leader and they're literally promoted by the government as a progressive climate leader. But all they're doing is offsetting that tiny proportion of their emissions. But now on their website, they can have trees and they can have a green stamp and they're getting social license. So consumers and investors think, well, it can't be all bad. Like, maybe Ampol is leading on climate, you know, in the same way that they've installed five EV chargers or something. They can say, oh, we're transitioning to be a renewable company. But you look at their projections, you look at what they're actually doing at their actual climate plans, they're taking account, you know, broadly, they're taking responsibility or saying we're going to reduce about 2% of our emissions all up. And and so it's just part of that misleading claims. Like, actually, no, I think the way they're being used now is that offsets give social license to increasing emissions. So if you didn't even have offsets as a concept or a product, then it would expose these companies who are using them for nefarious means a lot more. You know, they wouldn't have that fig leaf to hide behind, and you'd say, well, Ampol, what are you doing to reduce emissions?
Well, because I've got a friend who is doing a sequestration project in California, right, which where you go, so that's about capturing carbon usually at the source and then pumping it into the ground. And I know that there's a lot of, like, I don't think it's ever actually happened anywhere successfully, right? But aside from that, what interested me was that the government in California, all their inputs, if they use gas to run their sequestration project, then they can't offset that with anything. That's just counted as, oh, this creates carbon. Like, they're really strict on these projects so that they're genuinely, you know, got to reduce carbon to actually be carbon. We don't seem to be on that same wavelength. Like, it seems here offsets are the equivalent of literally burying, like, I suppose what I'm saying is it's the perfect crime. Like, offsets are the perfect crime here in Australia, aren't they?
Yeah, we have no requirement from any business at all to reduce. Offsets are synonymous with reduction, and even under this, I won't go into it, like, we've got this thing, the safeguard mechanism, which is like a key part of the government's climate policy that's meant to tackle emissions from our biggest emitting industries. All that, they only have to offset, they don't have to reduce. But what I mean, something interesting about carbon capture and storage, like that geological sequestration, the coalition actually developed a way of generating offsets from CCS, carbon capture and storage, attached to gas developments. Yeah, I can go into it if you want. But the interesting thing was that Angus Taylor then said this, what, you know, this carbon credit method, CCS being able to generate carbon offsets to sell to polluting industry, will help the gas industry scale up in Australia. So you have this perverse situation where a gas company extracting gas out of the ground captures some of its reservoir CO2, buries that, theoretically, it doesn't work, gets carbon credits for doing that while producing its gas, sells those carbon credits to another gas company who uses it to offset its emissions. So you can have a gas company saying it's carbon neutral on the basis it's bought carbon offsets from another gas company for producing gas. Like, that's where we're at in Australia.
I think it sounds like you're in the wrong side. Like, because you know how it all works. Why not just make some money out of it rather than...
I think about it sometimes.
Yeah. So what I was promised... My friend said, they've got tons of great examples of greenwashing. Like, this is all getting depressing. Can I just get some more funny, you know...
Happy examples.
Yeah, greenwashing examples.
So the Glencore's latest brand campaign, we've also made a complaint about to Ad Standards.
Why? Ad Standards, you just said Ad Standards are bullshit. But why bother?
Well, that's true. There has been 50 complaints made to Ad Standards under the Environmental Code, and only one has been upheld.
Oh, what was that?
Yeah,
it was pretty, probably pretty against funny. Greenpeace or something.
It was Australian Gas Networks, and the mistake that they made is that they had a picture of a guy making pasta on a gas stove, right? He's making his bolognese. And the tagline over that was, greener than anything you're cooking tonight. And the reason that was upheld was because they said greener than anything, right? So normally they just say clean or cleaner or green or greener, but because they said greener than anything.
It could have been paint. It could have been green paint.
Could have been green vegetables in the spag bowl, you know, and, you know, we can't test how many vegetables are in the spag bowl.
Yes.
So, that ad got pulled. That's the only one. Mm. But meanwhile, Glencore, which is, of course, is the world's largest coal exporter of thermal coal, has a lovely campaign at the moment, which doesn't show coal. It shows EVs, wind turbines, forests, and talks about advancing everyday life. So we've complained that, that's misleading the public into thinking that Glencore is a clean energy company. But naturally, that will be dismissed because as long as the public doesn't know what Glencore does, then it's not a problem for the advertising world. And customers are successfully being protected from the facts by this advertising self-regulation.
Are you sure that Glencore wasn't showing all the things that they hate? Like it was almost sort of like a, you know, here's a forest, let's cut it down.
there was no sort of koalas or you know, native wildlife or anything. Or
get it in the neck. The koalas need to get it in the neck.
Coming for you.
Well, if you had an accurate fossil fuel ad, it would have dead koalas in it, let's be honest.
Glencore, I remember, because we got into trouble with Glencore. I got served with defamation notices from their sort of American legal counsel because we ran some anti-ads against Glencore about 10 years ago. And that was because they were running slaves. I don't know whether they do it anymore, but they, in like Southern Africa, they used to run slaves. That's within our lifetimes.
They offset those slaves by giving people in Australia in offices a lot of money. So
That's right. Their executives earn a lot of money down in Melbourne. Actually, it probably does balance out, on average, those slaves get paid quite well across the company.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It probably does.
Well, that's good. So Glencore. Anyone else? Have we got one last example?
Oh, look, my personal favourite was the Santos Tour Down Under video. So Santos, which is the gas company, sponsors the Tour Down Under cycling event in South Australia.
Oh, yeah.
And that had pictures of people standing next to bicycles, including a pregnant woman standing next to bicycles, talking about how using gas results in more blue skies and cleaner air.
Right. Well, but did they get in trouble for saying that?
No, that was absolutely fine.
Is it because the gas, the methane, pushes all the clouds out of the way so that you actually literally get bluer skies?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or the gas creates this sort of hallucinogenic effect as you breathe it in. And the blue is so blue. That's a really blue today.
Maybe the community panel at Ad Standards has been having some of that gas along with the Reiki and the crystals or whatever, or the microdosing or whatever it is that they use to make these judgments.
Do you have a list of these? Because this sounds hilarious. Like, is there a website we can go to see all these egregious examples? Have you?
we do list some of them on our website, comsdeclare.org. And we also have a campaign called Fossil Ad Ban, where we're trying to get our legislation to ban fossil fuel ads because self-regulation hasn't worked and will not work. So we're trying to get tobacco-style legislation to ban fossil fuel ads and sponsorship. So that's fossiladban.org.
That's a great idea because that was the key to getting rid of tobacco, was they started off with the ad bans and then suddenly the media aren't getting money from these companies. Then suddenly they don't.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, when the Australian's not getting, money for 16 full-page lift-outs from the oil and gas lobby, perhaps their tune might change.
Yeah, okay. So what was the name of that website again?
That's fossiladban.org. So anyone can go there and write an email to their local politicians asking for fossil fuel ads to be banned.
Belinda, what is Comms Declare?
So we're a group of 360 plus people that work in communications and marketing and PR who advocate for climate action in those industries. So we started sort of doing surveys and so forth of agencies. We have a thing called the F list, where we name and shame agencies that work with fossil fuel clients, which is on our website. And then last year we started the Fossil Ad Ban campaign because we gave up talking and we've only got 7 years to half emissions. So it's legislative action is required.
Cool. And Polly, you're on that committee, are you? The 300 people Comms Declare.
Yeah. So I try and sort of help out where I can. The Australia Institute's a public policy think tank. So, I look at the stuff like the state-sponsored greenwash and our regulators that actual regulators, not ad standards, who should be addressing greenwash. And to be fair, are cracking down on it. But so I sort of come at it from the public policy and research perspective that sort of I hope helps inform Belinda's work. And then Belinda is sort of the rat bag representing civil society and industry and stuff that's pushing from the other side as well. So the work you were saying, you know, what's the point? The work that she's doing is incredibly important because, yes, ad standards needs to change its standards. Like, they're clearly behind the rest of the world, and it seemingly has very low climate literacy, I'd say. But, you know, we have regulators in Australia like ASIC and the ACCC and APRA who have committed to cracking down on greenwashing in a regulatory sense. What's really hard to see is how they'll be successful when, you know, it's other arms of government that are sanctioning the greenwash. So you sort of have this standoff here. So it's really important that Belinda's organisation is kind of holding those regulators and organisations like ad standards to account, and making noise and being ultra annoying, basically.
It sounds like Ad Standards Australia is a complete joke and needs to be replaced with a proper government independent arm that doesn't self-regulate.
I don't know. That like, seems like they're doing a fine job if it was a government organisation. If it was a government regulator, I don't think things would be vastly different.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah, right, okay. But then they need real teeth. They need to they need to not be – like, it's sort of like going – it's like the cops going investigating themselves for corruption, isn't it? Like, it's the same thing. This sort of, you know, oh, let's investigate ourselves never works in any industry.
No, self-regulation doesn't
except
work.
The satire industry. I think the latest investigation into the Chaser was cleared very much by the Chaser. And,
I was going to say, Liz Truss is probably going to look for a job soon. Maybe she can come in and sort out ad standards.
Well, she's done such a good job as Prime Minister. Thank you very much, Polly and Belinda. That was wonderful. And that website, again, was fossiladban.org. Yeah, and Polly, I hope you enjoy going around the world burning all those fossil fuels.
Yeah, I'm on a Kentucky tour to Ibiza next week just to tell everyone how bad Australia is.
For work. Our gear is from Rode Microphones, and we are part of the Acast Creator Network. Catch you tomorrow.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.